And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Jason Shurka, real estate investor turned spiritual entrepreneur and humanitarian. Jason is the founder of Unified World Organization, which is responsible for helping wake up millions around the world to their true power through conscious media and leading-edge technologies that promote health and wellness. Jason, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to be here, and this is the first time we're doing it. I don't think it's going to be the last. I love what you do. I love your work.
Well, thank you, and I hope you are right about that. Jason, for those who don't know you and are meeting you for the first time, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
That's a great question, because I always think, from what front, you know, like what perspective do I share? So I'm going to choose today to share more of the human perspective, because I can go on titles and all that, an author and, you know, an entrepreneur and all those things, but there's no need for that. I'm going to share the human perspective of what's going on here. So quite simply, I'm a regular person, just like everybody else, that was brought up in certain circumstances in this world. When I say certain circumstances, I'm talking about very good circumstances. So growing up, I had a lot. But with having a lot, growing up in a world where most people don't, there's this trauma that can be created. And growing up, I always felt guilty. I looked around me and I saw that I had everything that I needed, and everybody around me was suffering. If not everybody, the majority of people were suffering. And it caused me to feel like, why me? Why was I brought into this and not everybody else has what I have? And it led me onto this journey of saying, how can I create something or do something that will cause for people to experience blessings in their life as well? So there was one day I decided to wake up and I said, you know what? Let's make a change and let's use what I've been given to be able to give more to other people around me. So I do that through Unified TV, Conscious Media. I do that through Unified Healing, 356 wellness centers in over 40 countries around the world. I do that through all the free workshops and a bunch of events that I do around the world. And I don't just speak about one thing. Most people are experts in one thing. And I'm not an expert in anything, but I know a good amount about a lot of different things because I like seeing how everything is connected to everything else. So that's basically what started my journey. It started out of a trauma, and it caused me to want to give back more because of how I was brought up. And thankfully, my family taught me how to do that. And my father was brought up with absolutely nothing. He was basically homeless as a kid. And he made it at a very young age, 19, 20, 21 years old in real estate. Came from Israel to Brooklyn, New York, and right place, right time, and made some beautiful, beautiful deals that really created an empire in real estate of what him and his brother, my uncle, created. And that's the world that I come from. I have nothing to do, and I had nothing to do with the spiritual world in terms of where I come from, other than what my heart was telling me, other than my motivation, my desire to want to dive deeper into myself. And then I started learning about a lot of things. I started embodying those things, and I still am. And I continued to ask myself the question, how can I bring this value to everybody else around the world? So that's what I do today.
It's amazing that you had this feeling of guilt. I have interviewed many, many near-death experiencers, and a significant portion suffer, I believe, survivor's guilt. I'm sure there's a word to classify the guilt you have experienced, but I think that's fascinating. And at this point in your life, do you feel like you've resolved that?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that there's any guilt in the system anymore, because I did work, and, you know, with the proper people guiding me through it, to transmute that guilt into a power, into call it like a superpower in a way. We all have superpowers. As a matter of fact, I believe that our deepest emotions, our hardest times in our lives, the common denominator between the hardest times of your life and the greatest times of your life are not whether one is good or bad, but the energy and the power behind each. So that means that if we experience something traumatic, just as much trauma as that has, we also have the opposite side of the spectrum of an extraordinary amount of gifts to be able to receive from that traumatic event. So I look at everything as a basis of energy. It's like this essence. And the question is, what are we going to do with that energy? Are we going to use it to experience more guilt? because that's a choice. You can choose to experience that consequence, or am I going to take the base energy of what that guilt came out of and then transmute it into something else, like service to others, helping others, giving back, creating something that's more valuable for others. So I would say, no, I don't experience that guilt in my life anymore, because right now I'm in a process, and I would say that it's been a successful process thus far, of transmuting that energy of guilt into an energy of service. And it's been the greatest blessing of my life.
That's great. All right. In 2018, a guy named Ray entered your life, and to me, it seems like he kind of turned it upside down. Can you tell us?
Or right side up.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So first of all, his name is not actually Ray. That's a pseudonym that he just chooses to go by because he wants to remain anonymous. That's his prerogative. I don't always agree with his choices, by the way, but it is who he is, and that's what he wants to do. In short, and I'll ask you a question to make this real, like, you know, back and forth, so the audience can feel like they're a part of this as well. Would you agree, and I think most people would probably agree with this, that there are individuals, corporations, agencies, authorities, organizations in the world today that are here as service to self, meaning they're here to do more negatively polarized things for their own selfish interests as opposed to helping others? Can we agree that those things exist?
Sure.
So if we can agree that those things exist, and many of them, many people that are watching this may know certain organizations by name that do things like that, I'm sure we can name many. Just like that exists, the exact opposite exists as well. So just like there's negatively polarized organizations out there, there are positively polarized organizations out there as well. And that's, I mean, law of the universe. It's the law of harmony and balance. If there's darkness, there's light. If there's up, there's down. If there's left, there's right. If there's war, there's peace, and so on and so forth. So if there's bad, there must be the good to counterbalance that bad. The issue I always face when I speak about that is it's hard for people to wrap their heads around it until I ground the conversation to the question I just asked you, because how many good organizations can you name? Not many. How many bad organizations can you name?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. It doesn't mean that it's all bad. It means that the good may just be working in a different way. So in 2018, I was approached by an individual that works with one of many good organizations out there. And this is a physical organization. This has nothing to do with channeling. This has nothing to do with, you know, interdimensional communication or things like that. Although I do believe in those things, and I know that those things are possible. But the organization that I work with that approached me in 2018 through this man that we're going to call Ray is a very real physical organization with branches and offices in New York City and California, all around the world. And the name of that organization is known as TLS, otherwise known as the Light System. So that's what they call themselves. They're made up of about 8,500 individuals around the world. Some of those individuals, you, Jeff, know who those people are. You just don't know that they're a part of the organization. Because one of the ways that the organization works is everything is on a need-to-know basis. There's no need for somebody to know if somebody's a part of that organization or not, because the only thing it's really going to do is give somebody an ego trip. Where I come in is through a series of events since 2018, more specifically since February 6th of 2020, where I was invited to a very long meeting. It lasted like 12 hours with the organization. There was about nine of us in that room. It was in that meeting that a series of events started occurring that led to a compromise of me putting out a document that was given or asked to be written in that meeting on February 6th. I was given it in June of 2020, about 4 months later. And Ray was supposed to be the one to put this document out to the world, known as the Pyramid Code. He decided not to, and I got upset with him because I said, this is a very powerful document. The world needs to know what's going on over here. So the compromise was, Jason, me, you're allowed to put out this document to the world. We're going to change all the names in the document to preserve the anonymity and the privacy and security of those individuals, because not everybody that's listed in that document was okay with their names and their identities being known. And again, I respect it. I don't completely agree with it, but that's their prerogative. And I agreed to putting this document known as the Pyramid Code out to the world. What that evolved into is basically me becoming a spokesperson on behalf of this organization. So over the past few years, they've asked me to put out many different messages, messages regarding certain upcoming events in the world to be aware of, to be cautious of, to be conscious of. they asked me to put out certain documents in the world, one being the Pyramid Code, another one being the document called Rays of Light. All of these things are free, by the way, for the entire world to read. Anything having to do with the organization, one of the rules is it must remain free. We're not allowed to make money off of any of those things. So that's basically the series of events that started in 2018 when I was first approached. He didn't approach me saying, hey, I'm part of this incredible, powerful organization that does X, Y, and Z. Because quite honestly, I probably would have just thought that he was mentally ill. That's the complete truth. Again, remember, I come from a real estate business background. I don't come from that world. So if they came to me at that time saying, hey, you know, this is who we are, this is what we do, I wouldn't have listened. I would have just walked away and moved on. They did it over a period of 2 years, from 2018 to February 6th of 2020, where that initial meeting happened with the organization, where Ray was a part of it as well. And it happened perfectly. They know exactly what they're doing when they want to recruit somebody.
How did you come under their radar?
If you ask them, they'll tell you that ever since I was a very, very young kid. And if you really want to get into the craziness, let me give some context here first. They're, although they're a physical organization, they're more spiritually oriented in the way that they do things. Okay. So they have a lot of awakened individuals that are a part of that organization, individuals that have what you and I may call supernatural abilities, things like telepathic communication, telekinetic powers, moving things without touching them, the ability to influence one through their dreams. They call that the knowledge and mysticism of dreams. There's a word for that in Hebrew, by the way. Because a lot of what they're connected to is the mysticism of not the religion, but the mysticism that stems from what today we would call Judaism. They are not a Jewish organization. They're not a religious organization whatsoever. There are people from all walks of life that come from that organization, Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, Christians. I would say the only people that are not really a part of that organization are atheists, because everybody over there is connected to some sort of higher power that interconnects all, but not in a religious way whatsoever. So again, there are individuals there that have incredible abilities. And to give the reason why I gave that context is because now when we understand reincarnation and past lives and things like that, what they would say is we knew about you before you were born, because now you're going into souls in different lifetimes and individuals in different lifetimes. So I see now, because now I'm on the inside, it's pretty cool to see it from the inside now, as opposed to being the one that it was being done to. I know people that they're following, and I see those people because some of those people I'm close friends with in my life today. And I see the trickle effect that they're doing to those individuals, where one day they're going to approach them, but they're following them over a period of time to evaluate where that person is, how their energy aligns with the criteria that they're looking for. For example, let's say you're born with a certain, you know, ability. We all have abilities. We all have gifts, but some are closer to gifts than others. So let's say you're born with a specific ability. And now let's say you're 25 years old and you decide to become a drug addict. If they've been following you your whole life, but through your own free will, you decided to go start taking heroin and cocaine, they're going to pull back. So it's honoring the free will of the individual while helping guide and assist the individual along the way in subliminal ways, using certain individuals in that person's life throughout their process. And eventually it always comes to a form of approach and recruitment.
It sounds like some of the members may be multidimensional, if you're talking about knowing people in their past lives and stuff.
Sure, but there are human beings that are able to connect to past lives, and there are human beings that are able to remember past lives, and there are human beings that are able to look at you and see your past lives. So let's put it this way. The people that I know, they're all human beings. Are there different levels of things that are done over there, maybe through, you know, interdimensional activity and so on and so forth? Absolutely. Is that something that I'm connected to? Not so much. I'm more so, again, my job is spokesperson, getting briefs on certain information, sharing that with the world to help people. And I can tell you that my belief systems have been pushed many, many times, and they are every single day. And maybe in a year from now, I'll speak differently, you know, but I know what I know. And at the same time, I know very little. So it's this process of I need to also break down my limitations, because we all have limitations, and I need to open myself to understanding certain things. Again, remember, I come from the real estate world. I come from the business world. I come from a family that are business people. It's like half my family thinks I'm crazy for speaking about what I speak about today. So that's where my limitations come from. And day to day to day to day, every single day, we break more of those limitations down.
From what I'm hearing, it sounds like this group was completely covert until you released the pyramid code. And if so, why? And why now?
Yeah, so they, to my knowledge, their first decision to come out publicly was in 2010. That's when Rays of Light, that other book, started to be written. Ray was given that first job to do that. He started doing it through sharing documentations, not through social media or anything like that, but through physically sharing documentations, and it started spreading around the world pretty quickly. Then he took it back and he said, I don't want to do this, because he started realizing that there are a lot of people that are against it. There are a lot of people that call him crazy. And again, that's not a reason why I would not do it, but we're all individuals. We're all human beings, and we all have our free will to choose what to do and not to do. So he was given the first choice to come out publicly. He did a little bit, and then he pulled back and he didn't do it since. Then in 2020, on February 6th of 2020, when he was asked to document the Pyramid Code document, in June, when I was given that document 4 months later, again, they said, you're given the ability and you're given permission to put this out. We want to give this another shot. He said, again, I'm not doing it. That's where I came in, because I was part of the situation. And I said, no, 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 we're doing this. And again, it all happened through like compromises. So what I would say is Ray was supposed to be the one to actually do this. But then if you believe in divine order, if I did it, then I guess I was supposed to be the one to do it. I don't know. All I know is there was a series of events that evolved over a period of time that then caused them to come to me and give me the option. And they said, you want this document out? We want this document out. He doesn't want this document out. Let's create a compromise that everybody is happy on, but you're going to need to be willing to step up and put your face out there. Are you willing to do that? And my answer was yes, because imagine I said no while fighting with Ray about not wanting to do it. I would be a hypocrite. So I said, yes, I'm willing to do it. Let's go. Let's make it happen. And that's exactly what we did. So this was the first time on September 9th of 2020 at 9 a.m. Eastern time was when the Pyramid Code document came out. So 9-9 at 9 a.m. Eastern time of 2020 is when I was instructed to put it out. And get this, this is how it happened. I put out the document. I didn't have a social media following. I just had an Instagram a few days before that I started. I had maybe 3 visits to my website, nothing. Okay. I created a website just to put this document out. And in 3 hours, Jeff, this document reached millions of people in every continent on earth.
Wow.
So it's like, that's what happens when, you know, you follow something like that and you do what needs to be done. It's very, very obvious and apparent that I couldn't have done that by myself. It's also obvious and apparent that, because some people say, how do we know you didn't write the document? That's a very valid question.
Yeah.
The document was originally written in Hebrew. I don't know how to write that level of Hebrew. I know a little bit of Hebrew because my family's from Israel and that's how I was raised. But if you give me something to read, very difficult. If you give me something to write, eh. And if you give me something to speak, my best ability is speaking. And even that's extremely limited. So at the very least, we know somebody else is involved here. And then when you see a document coming in and going that far and wide out to the world, we know that there's some sort of power behind this making that happen. So that's the work of TLS and how that whole thing goes down.
There are probably some people watching that are skeptical. And I would assume at some point you were even skeptical.
Yeah.
What was the tipping point that, you know, made you decide this is the real deal?
I would say it was a consolidation of different events where things were done to me on a personal level. And there are many situations I can bring up here, but like supernatural things that were done to me on a personal level that I got to experience. For example, in Hebrew, there's something called Torah Tachalomot. Torah Tachalomot means the knowledge and mysticism of dreams. Basically, what was done to me was an influence in my dream realm. And I'll give you the story. I was given a lesson one day. It was like 3 years ago, maybe, by Ray himself. And he was teaching me about different dimensions, but not different dimensions in terms of moving from one to another where you can't see the person when they move to the other dimension. It's more so using your brain waves and brain states to be able to do different things. So we know beta, alpha, theta, delta, gamma, and so on and so forth. Those are the first five. Science calls it brainwave frequencies. TLS calls it different dimensions. And as you operate in different dimensions from beta to alpha to theta to delta to gamma, you're able to do different things. For example, you need to be in a specific state when you're dreaming to be in REM, where your eyes are moving rapidly, rapid eye movement. You can't move your eyes that fast while you're awake. It's just not possible humanely. What's going on that makes it possible when you're sleeping? You're moving from a state of beta to a state of, let's say, delta. I believe delta is where that happens. Whatever state that is, you're moving from one state to another state that makes the impossible possible in a different state, in a different dimension, but you're still a human being in a physical body. So in that same way, suddenly, just like you're able to move your eyes very fast, you can also write very fast. You can also do things like levitation with the body. You can also do things like out-of-body experiences. And you can also do things like influencing people's dreams by going into them. That's what Torah Tachalomot is. It's the knowledge and mysticism of dreams. So one day, Ray is teaching me about this whole thing. It was one night. I don't remember what night of the week it was. And he's teaching me about all these different states of being, basically, dimensional states of being, from beta, alpha, theta, delta, gamma. And basically, part of the teaching was every single person is born at a specific dimensional state of being. And based on what you do throughout your life, if you're drinking a lot, if you're smoking a lot, if you're doing things that are counterproductive to your health, you can either decrease or increase your state of dimensional being, depending on your free will and how you choose to exercise that free will. So I asked him, I'm like, hey, what dimensional state of being was I born at? And he said, well, there's a technique to be able to read that. And that technique is called the fetal position technique. And I said, okay, can you do it to me? And he said, sure, let's go, lay down. So I lay down on my left side and he tells me to go into fetal position. And laying on my left side in fetal position, and he molds his body around me in fetal position, all clothed, by the way. I know this sounds weird, but all clothed. And he takes two fingers and puts it on my head, on my forehead over here. And he takes two fingers and puts it on my belly button. This is connected to the fetal position because that's how you are as a baby in your mother's stomach. And his forehead was on the back of my neck every so often. And over a period of 10 minutes, he's doing something and suddenly I started feeling like electricity moving through the body. Now I felt it much less than he did because when he felt it, he would like move away like he was being electrocuted. I'm like, that's interesting. And I just let it happen. I said, let's see what happens. After the 10-minute period was over, him doing his reading, I said, okay, now what? What was I born at? And he said, no, go home, go to sleep. Do not look at your phone before you go to sleep. Try to remember your dreams when you wake up and write down whatever you remember. Call me after you do that. And I said, after I do that, will you tell me? He said, yes, don't worry about it. I said, cool. So I go home, I go to sleep. I don't look at my phone. I have the most vivid dreams I've ever had in my life. I still have the dreams written in my journal. I still have that journal in my safe. I'll never get rid of that. And I wrote down this whole in-depth detailed experience of this dream that I had. And basically the dream was me in a jungle, like Mowgli. I was like barefoot and, you know, like Tarzan, you know, era. Like that's how I felt. And I was interacting with all these animals and I remembered all these animals that I was with and experiencing. So I wake up the next morning, I write down the whole thing in my journal that I still have. And I call him and I say, okay, here was my dream. And he said, okay, keep going. And I said, what do you mean keep going? He said, what else do you remember? I said, that's all I remember. That's everything I wrote down. And he goes to me and he says, what about the alligator? And I'm like, and suddenly I remember the whole portion of my dream of the alligators in the river that I was playing with. And I said, how'd you know that? And then he starts telling me what the alligator was doing in my dream. And I remember it like piece by piece by piece. And I start freaking out. I'm like, how did you know that? And he said, because I was the alligator, I came into your dream. That's what Torah Tachalomot is. If you learn how to do it, you're able to influence dreams by coming into an individual's dream and moving through their subconscious to send messages, to influence a certain idea to come into the person's head and so on and so forth. So I'm looking and I'm like, whoa, you just told me my dream that I know that I had that I never shared with anybody else because I barely remembered it myself. You know those moments throughout the day where something happens and suddenly you remember a dream? It was like that. That's what happened. So I'm giving you one of many different experiences that I had with him and others in the organization. But now I go to him and I said, okay, can you tell me regarding the reading what you got? Now, again, some more context. Every dimension, beta, alpha, theta, delta, gamma, is broken into 10 different portions. So there's alpha 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Delta 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so on and so forth. So he goes to me and he says, you were born at delta 8, which is a relatively high level. But at the time of reading, you were at alpha, at mid alpha somewhere. And I said, why? And he said, well, look at how you're living. Now, at the time I was about, I think I was like 19 or 20 years old. And he said, well, you're going out a lot. You're eating garbage. You're drinking a lot. You're smoking. You're doing X, Y, yeah, just like any other teenager. You know, you're doing all these things. You're going to have to stop if you want to bring yourself back to where you were at. And that's going to be a very important part of the process if you want to dive into the gifts that you were born with. Now, back to your question, Jeff, how are people chosen? Primarily, there's two ways that people are chosen to be a part of something like this. And it doesn't make you special if you're chosen or not. It's all a matter of, first and foremost, we're all a part of a mission, whether you're a part of TLS or not. And that mission is to help awaken humanity. But TLS will choose certain individuals to fit a specific operation or mission that they want to bring to the table that's in alignment with the mission of waking up humanity and, you know, helping us ascend in a very simple way, or in a very like simple way of expressing that. So there are two ways that they would pick somebody. Way number one is based on the dimensional state of being that they were born at, because that's already their very easy potential. We all have the potential to reach gamma. But if you're born at delta, it's much easier to get back to delta than if you were born on alpha, let's say. So that's way number one. Way number two is if you're an expert in a field and they need that expert. For example, let's say there's an operation in New York City, and now I'm giving you a real operation that happened. An operation in New York City where somebody needed to get from one side of the city to the other side of the city very, very quickly, but they were in a car. They have expert hackers that they would take from, for example, Unit 8200 in the IDF. 8200 is basically all the nerds and programmers that are expert hackers. IBM will recruit from there. Facebook will recruit from there. All these like top tech companies will go to Unit 8200 in the IDF because they know they're top of the line. So TLS is no different. They'll find somebody that's already very, very good with computers and hacking and so on and so forth. And in this case, they would use that person to turn every single red light green on that street to get them from one side of the city to the other in the car that they're in as fast as possible. So that's a situation where they would choose somebody that's a master in their field instead of having to teach them something. It could be, ex-agents from other organizations that understood that the organizations that they were working for are corrupt. And they would bring them out of that and bring them into their organization because they're aligned with a different mission. So I know that's a lot of information, but I hope that answers your question.
It was great. Are there are there people in there that are like celebrities?
Yes. Know,
that everybody knows?
Yes. Yeah. There's quite a few people that everybody knows that's a part of it. It could be celebrities. It could be authors. It could be producers. It could be politicians. It could be people in NASA. It could be people that are working in the Pentagon. Only they're doubles. Okay, so if TLS has somebody working in the Pentagon, they're paid by the government. But the Pentagon has no idea that they're working with TLS. So they do that to bring in intelligence and information to the organization to learn about things before they happen.
Now, you're a spokesperson for them. Does that mean that you are a fully fledged member?
No. Right now, in a weird way, because I let's put it like this. I'm asked to do many, I'm treated like an agent, but I'm not formally initiated. What does initiation look like? There's a training process based on what you're being trained to do. And then every year on December 23rd, there's an initiation ceremony, which is just a big party honoring everybody with really good food and, you know, fun music and things like that. So every year, December 23rd is the date they have their formal like initiation acknowledgement. I have yet to be invited to something like that.
Would you say this group is more involved with stopping terrible things from happening, like disasters, or promoting amazing things?
Both. Because promoting amazing things can stop disasters from occurring. But at the same time, they also stop disasters from occurring sometimes. Sometimes they fail. Sometimes they're not able to do that. Because there's a fine line between stepping in to help humanity and then doing something for humanity. And if they try and do something for humanity, they can actually do us a disservice. Almost like if you took every single hardship away from your son or your daughter, well, then they'll never turn into an adult. They're always going to be kids because you never let them go through something like that. Now, at the same time, there's also things that they can't do for us. For example, look at what's going on in the Middle East. If you ask me, there's a lot of orchestrated events happening over there. That's not something normal. That's not just a war of some terrorists coming in and making something like that happen. By the way, I was in Israel when that occurred. I was there on the ground when that war broke out. There were a lot of problems that happened there. Now, why do I bring that up? Because when you look at what's going on in the world right now, you see a lot of one side with Israel, a lot of another side with Palestine, and everybody fighting and killing each other. What's really going on here is there's the same people funding both sides and playing us. Now, you can't, TLS can't step in and stop something like that in terms of what people choose to do, because right now there's a lot of hatreds in the hearts. There's a lot of hatred in the hearts of people. And the only way that we can overcome that is by going through the process as the human race. TLS can't take that away from you. They can't just, you know, change that in your consciousness. That's why they work on helping us see things. They use people like me and many others to get messages out to the world so people can break through the mental imprisonment and the spiritual imprisonment that we're causing ourselves to be in the first place. And once we can see through that, then we'll break through it once and for all.
It almost sounds like this is a group from a movie, like the with the Marvel Avengers.
Have you ever seen the movie? Have you ever seen the movie The Adjustment Bureau?
No, but I need to see that movie.
You should watch that movie because that's very much how TLS works.
Wow. Does anybody in the group have, you know, like supernatural abilities or like superhuman abilities?
I don't like using the word superhuman because right now we're living subhuman lives. Okay, we're living subnatural lives. When we're, you know, wearing shoes with plastic and chemicals on them on our feet all day, when we're around Wi-Fi like we are right now with distorted frequencies all the time, what's human and what's normal can no longer be attained. Let's look at nature for a second. A caterpillar can shapeshift and transform into a butterfly. We call that natural. A bird can migrate from one side of the world to another side of the world without any navigation, knowing when there's a hurricane or a natural disaster in front of it, and then deviate its path but get to its destination. We call that natural. They don't have technology like we do with our weather channel to do that, and yet they know the weather better than we do with all the technology that we have. So I would challenge that statement by saying, are we living natural lives? And if we're living subnatural lives, then what we call supernatural is simply natural. It's just relative to the subnatural. So when a person can do something like detect a storm before it comes, when a person can do something like change its form, just like the caterpillar does to a butterfly, when an individual can, when an animal can go about healing itself quicker than a human can, look at nature and you'll understand everything better. It's normal. It's natural. We're just so far removed from that. So the answer is yes, there are people that can do things like levitation. There are people that can do things like teleportation. There are people that can do things like moving things without touching them. There are people that can do things like erase parts of your memory. I've seen it done. There are people that can do things like change and influence the way you think about something, change and influence the way you do something, implant an idea into your mind. So you now start a business or a foundation that's going to help the world, only they influenced you to do it without you knowing how to do that, without you knowing that it was done that way. My point is, yes, those people exist, and they exist way beyond just the limitations and the confines of the TLS organization. They are not supernatural. They're living natural lives. We're just living subnatural lives.
Is there any danger for any of the members at any time?
From 2020 to 2022, 2,000 of, at the time, 7,000 agents were killed.
Like in just like gunfights or what?
In some cases, gunfights. And some, I say 2020, 2021, and 22, because during that time, we experienced what we experienced around the world. There was a lot of operations going on around the world that caused a lot more danger than not. just now in the Middle East. They were in Israel while I was there. They were in Saudi Arabia while I was in Israel. There are very, very dangerous operations that are going on there. Now, that's not my job. Okay. So I don't take part in those operations. I speak and share. I have my own risks and dangers that come with what I do. And there are risks and dangers that come with what I do. Sometimes I need security following me, but it's security that I always refuse to walk around with security that you'll see. I don't like that. So if I'm going somewhere that's known to be a dangerous place, there will be security that's following me from afar. They'll follow me in a car, and I know that they are. But to the common person, you're not going to know that somebody's following me, because that's kind of how it's done with the organization, to keep it under your cover. And if something happens, something will be taken care of. So in short, yeah, there's a lot of danger that comes with it. Mine is, I would say, less dangerous than somebody that would go into an underground tunnel to go and take somebody out that's doing an atrocity to, you know, a child in some cases, which we're not going to get into here. And that's primarily the reason why 2,000 people were killed. So they went from 7,000 to 5,000, recruited another 3,500. That's how we're at 8,500 now.
So the bad organizations are aware of this group, I'm assuming.
Well, if you are, they must be, right?
Right. And do they actually know who the members are?
I don't think so.
They don't have a list or anything.
I'm sure they probably try, and maybe they get through certain security aspects of what the organization does. But again, with the organization, there are many, many layers of security. Like, take what you think the CIA can do and then multiply it by 100. It's people that now use physical stuff and the spiritual realm as well to be able to do things.
Do they have some sort of super advanced technology?
Yeah, big time. They many different types of technologies as well. Technologies that take things like UFOs or UAPs, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Those things are very real. They operate through the power of thought of the operator that's operating that craft. That's a spiritual thing. That's not a physical thing. Because if it was a physical thing, it wouldn't be able to break the laws of physics that we know. So again, that's a whole other conversation. But yes, they do have access to incredible technology. They also help bring technology to the awareness of the masses, one of which they sent me to go interview the inventor of a technology called the Energy Enhancement System that was invented by a woman named Dr. Sandra Rose Michael. They sent me to interview her a year and a half ago. This technology was developed in 1996. From 1996 to 2022, 90% of that technology was sold to private individuals with a lot of money. The royal family of Abu Dhabi has it. Tony Robbins has it. Some people in the Rothschild family has it, believe it or not.
What is this?
And it's called the Energy Enhancement System. And it's basically a technology that will help your body catalyze its process of healing itself in a very, very, very profound way. So they sent me with a mission: go find a way to bring this technology to the masses. So it's not just the elite that have it, but it's also the common man that has access to it as well. So I went to interview Dr. Sandra Rose Michael about this technology in May of 2022. May 27th of 2022, the interview came out. The next day, her team got 70,000 emails from people that were interested in opening centers around the world. And today I have a network called the Unified Healing Network. I could share that link with you if you'd like. Mm-hmm. The Unified Healing Network now has 356 locations around the world in over 40 countries around the world that we've opened over the past year and a half alone, which started a year and a half ago only having 19 centers around the world. So in 26 years, they opened 19 centers. And in 1.5 years, we opened 356. That's the power of TLS and what happens when they come to the table. So if anybody does want to learn more about that technology, it's doing incredible things for people all around the world. You can go to unifiedhealing.com. There is definitely a center near you. And the key was always to make it affordable and accessible to the world as a whole. So that's what we did.
How often are you in contact with them? And while we're at it, do they call you on the phone, email you, text you, or what?
Yeah, I can get a call, a text. Texts are always done through encryptions. So there are certain codes with those text messages. They would use a pass-through phone to send a message. So let's say I get a text from one of them, but somebody's looking at my phone. They can't know that it's one of them. So it would show up as your mother messaged you. I know that it's not my mom because the text message starts with a specific code that I know what that code is. So that's one of the ways that they would communicate. Other ways is, just in an in-person meeting, you know, so it could be in person. It could be over the phone. I could call somebody right now and get that done. I could send a message. So it's all very, you know, physical and real and simple, just the way that me and you would communicate, only with certain codes and messages to keep that separate from the public domain.
They're a spiritual group, so I would assume they believe in God.
They know God. There's no need to believe in something that is very obvious and apparent. Now, the question is, I'll tell you one thing, they don't use the word God. They don't like when I use the word God either, because God has been a word that's been destroyed and corrupted over the years through religion, through organized religion in many ways. They would use more of the terms like source or the divine or the eternal light or whatever it is. You can use the word God if you choose to, but if you believe in something, you're not sure that that something exists. If you know something, you know that that something exists. And the very fact that existence is existence in the first place means that there is something that allows for existence to exist in the first place. That's why I say they know God. They don't believe in God.
How much time do you devote to this organization? I mean, is it like a full-time job?
It's an overtime job. There's a reason why I'm bald in my 20s. And it's because it's an overtime job. It's a lot of work, but it's a part of it. It's what I signed up for.
Do they financially compensate you for it?
No, wow. Not for what I do, but what I've built helps support what we do moving forward, right? So we have Unified Healing, we have Unified TV. Unified Healing, I'm not allowed to take a dollar from. Unified TV supports me in my mission, so it helps me live so I can keep traveling and going to these events and so on and so forth. But one of the rules of Unified Healing was, if you're going to create this network, you cannot take a dollar for yourself for it. So I don't.
How have you changed in your own spiritual beliefs since joining them?
I've become a lot more, my conviction is much more powerful. It's much stronger. I lost a lot of friends. I lost some family. Some people think I'm crazy. It's okay. But I would say I'm a lot more secure in my destiny and my purpose and my path. And I hope to inspire others to do the same.
Now, you have something else going on called the Disclosure Series.
Yeah, so we have the Disclosure Series and the Pyramid Code Series. That's out now on Unified TV. Both of them are. The Disclosure Series really started when I asked Ray, hey, I want to interview you. And his automatic response was no. And I'm like, okay, but like, can you hear me out for a second? Let me interview you. Nobody's going to know who you are. We're going to change your voice. We're going to do a voiceover. Nobody can even bring the tone back to what your real voice is. We're going to cover you. So it's just you in a hood. Nobody will be able to see you. And that's it. And like, let me do it. And he once again said, no. And I said, okay, how about this? Let me do it. If you don't like it, we'll throw it in the garbage and we'll destroy the hard drive. You have nothing to lose. Just sit down with me for 45 minutes. We sat down. That interview was put out. He liked it. The organization approved it. We put it out. And then a lot of people started having a lot more questions. So we did another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. It turned into a 7-part series that's free on Unified TV right now. By the way, the Unified TV app is free to download on all devices. So if you do want to download that app and watch the series, it's open for everybody. So that's one of the few things on the platform that's open for the entire world. Then we moved into the Pyramid Code series, where we started speaking about the Pyramid Code document. That started only last month. That came out on 9/9, the 3-year anniversary of when the document came out. And part 2 came out on 10/10, just about a couple weeks ago.
I'm not sure if this is yours or their work, but in the pyramid codes, is it talking about that there's planets or stars that are pyramid shaped?
They identify one star as the only star in the cosmos, the only thing in the cosmos that's not a sphere. And I know that some flat earthers won't like what I'm saying here, but I'm just the messenger of information. That's not a sphere, but is a pyramid. And they call it the pyramid star. It has an aura of a sphere in terms of its light that it emits, but its actual shape, according to them, I've never seen it. So again, I'm sharing information. What people want to do with that is up to them. But they claim that there's a planet out there that's in the shape of a pyramid. The reason why I resonate with that is because there's a reason why there were so many pyramids, and there are so many pyramids on planet Earth today. Mm-hmm. It's not because somebody just decided, hey, let's build this pyramid. It's because there's numerologies, there's mysticism to that shape. And the idea and the symbol of what the pyramid is supposed to do is to connect the spiritual world with the physical world, the physical part of humankind with the spiritual portions of humankind. And it explains how it does that through the Pyramid Code document, which is not long. It's like 40 pages in English, 31 pages in Hebrew, and it's super powerful. There's a reason why I really wanted to put it out, because I know a lot of people could benefit from it, and a lot of people have benefited from it.
Does the organization have the information on how the pyramids were really built?
It's in that document.
Wow. That's amazing.
I highly recommend reading it. It's free. You can go to my website, jasonshurka.com, and explore that website. But on the TLS portion, you'll see the Pyramid Code. You'll also see Rays of Light. And the Pyramid Code was translated into like 10 different languages and audiobooks, all free on YouTube. And Rays of Light is translated, well, written in Hebrew, translated into English.
You mentioned some words earlier, or you spoke words earlier in Hebrew. Does any of their information come from the Kabbalah?
Yes. Yeah, big time. There's a lot of connections to that. And if you read Rays of Light, you'll learn that there are four types of Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember all of them, but one of the four are no longer in circulation. There are some people that associate with the Kabbalah the desire, like some people would go and kill themselves or commit suicide because it makes them go crazy. The Kabbalah that got that name was one of the four that is no longer in circulation, is only available to certain individuals that will do the work to receive that. That's not the regular Kabbalah that you would go and buy on a bookshelf. But at the same time, if somebody like me or you were to read that, we wouldn't understand what we're reading. It's a completely different level of mysticism, and there are prerequisites to be able to get to that point.
All right, you're an author. How many books have you written?
Four, but only three are published. The fourth one is coming out in a few months. I don't have them next to me here, but the first one is called Forming the Formless. Second one is called The Language of Energy. The third one is called Rays of Knowledge, like sun rays of knowledge. And that's all about my experiences with TLS. And the fourth one is called Accessing Awareness. That one was just completed. It's being published shortly.
Great. I have another reason to get you back.
Yes. It's going to be a good time.
I want to mention quickly that you are going to be a featured speaker at Stairway to the Stars with yep. Disclosure Fest. And so yep. What kind of juicy stuff will you be disclosing there?
I would say everything you just heard here, but a whole lot deeper. So what this organization is about, grounding the reality of the organization to make it simple and easy to understand, as opposed to this like comic book in somebody's head of a bunch of superheroes, mm-hmm. How it all started, you know, how did this come to being in the first place? How did they come to me? How did they recruit me? Why did they recruit me? Why are they recruiting other individuals? What their mission is, how people can align with their mission, and all the fun little details along the way. I want to open up a Q&A. It's a 90-minute presentation, so I'd mm-hmm. like to open up a Q&A because I could talk all day, but I'd rather answer the questions that people have because that's where it gets really interesting. So all about TLS, all about how the whole system works, and maybe even some examples of some really interesting operations that happened over the past 3 years that I'm aware of.
Wow. Can you share one with us?
There's one. I'm going to share it vaguely because if I give too many details here, it may not be appropriate for this platform. But in 2020, in September of 2020, there was an operation where they were going to infiltrate what we call an underground tunnel system that is very far and wide all around the world. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Maybe. I think so.
There's an underground tunnel system where very bad things happen down right. there, run by not so great people. Right. And basically they were going down there to get to Portugal in a very short period of time, because part of the technology that is used in this underground tunnel system are maglev trains that operate at very, very high speeds. When I say high speeds, you're talking like 17,000 miles per hour high speed. So it can bring you from Long Island, New York to Portugal in about 21 minutes. So they were going to Portugal to do something, but they entered the tunnel system in Long Island, New York, because one of the entrances are there. There was an ambush. So 20 individuals from TLS were going into this tunnel system. They went in and there was an ambush from the other side. I guess there was intelligence knowing that TLS was coming in, and 17 of them were killed. Three of them got out. One of them was Ray. Two women were with him. It was two women and 18 men. Ray was one of those men. Ray and two women got out safely. They were extracted from that place. And I was actually with Ray right after that whole thing. Now, down there in those tunnels, they don't use guns. They use what they call electromagnetic laser pulsation. So think about it like laser guns. If you get shot with this thing, you're vaporized very, very quickly. So TLS has certain suits and boots that they would give to their agents when going down. Meaning if you step on something that's the equivalent of like a mine, but that's an electromagnetic laser pulsation mine, it would vaporize you. So their boots are like bulletproof vests for your feet if you step on it. It'll still hurt you. It will still give you a lot of radiation to the body, but you won't die. Same thing with the suits that they wear. So their suits are from the neck down. And I believe they have helmets, but I don't know if they had helmets on there on that specific operation. Basically, long story short, if you're shot with one of the weapons that they use on both sides, but if you're shot with one of these electromagnetic laser pulsation guns, you're vaporized. If you're wearing one of these suits from the neck down, again, it's like a bulletproof vest. It hurts a lot, but you're going to survive. The only way that they're going to take you out is if they hit you in the head. You're a goner. Nothing's going to save you on that one. So 17 were killed, 3 made it out. And I was with Ray right after he made it out. I saw the man in like deep radiation poisoning, because again, although the suit will help you, you're still going to be poisoned with radiation. And they actually taught me how to help release radiation from the body in very quick ways. So for example, from what I remember, it was 3 years ago, but from what I remember, it was certain parts on like where the kneecap is, where the kneecap meets the shin, and behind the knee as well, pressing on certain parts of the bodies over there. And you see the man is like purging, throwing up, getting rid of all this radiation from the body through certain points on the body that you would touch. So I would say that's one very unique situation that I was a part of and I got to experience myself.
It kind of brings to mind like Men in Black. Like there's this other world going on all around us that we're oblivious to.
By the way, there is an organization called Men in Black that's now called a different name. They call it FAC, Fixers, Assassins, and Cleaners. They're very bad people. There's about 50 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
To get back to the Disclosure Fest quickly, what day are you going to be there?
Well, I'm going to be there all days. I'm speaking. I don't remember what day I'm speaking, to be honest. I have to ask. I believe I'm speaking on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be there from the 9th to the 12th, the whole way through.
That's November, right?
Yes.
Yes. And that's in Vegas, right?
In Vegas. We're going to have a good time in Vegas.
Nice. That'd be a lot of fun. I could see a lot of members might be living in Vegas.
Well, I was sent to Vegas to get Unified Healing done with EES, with Energy Enhancement System. So a lot of synchronicities there.
All right. You're a really busy guy, but I'm assuming you have more stuff going on that you haven't told us about.
Yeah. So I always have tours and events that I'm doing. My biggest event that I'm doing that's coming up in like 4 or 5 months from now, that honestly I'm most excited for because I put a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money to make this whole thing happen. I basically rented out a hotel in Orlando, Florida. We have a 3-day event that I'm leading 12 hours a day, every single day, called The Transformation. And it's a 3-day event to help people basically transform from within all the way out to the external portions of their lives. So focusing on what are your hardships? What are your triggers? What are your limitations? What is the current program of your mind that you can reprogram to reflect a different type of your life? You know, because at the end of the day, your life is a reflection of your mind's program, your beliefs, your emotions, your thoughts, your words, and so on and so forth. So I put together this 3-day retreat, basically, where we all get together in person. We have hundreds of people that are going to be joining. It's going to be about 400 people all in. I didn't want to make it too big. So we're capping it around 400 people. And it's 3 days of just transformative activities. So there's a complete workbook. Think about it like a Tony Robbins event, less business, more spiritual ascension, more spiritual advancing. More inner work, self work, going deep into the hard portions of yourself to really turn your hardships into your gifts, to turn your triggers into your opportunities, to turn your limitations, so-called, into your rooms for growth, and really shifting your perspective on everything that you see. So it's going to be an awesome event. It's top of the line, top-notch production, top-notch food from beginning to end, and really a place where people can come and not only meet other people that are like-minded, but go through a process that will transform their lives from beginning to end. And I think now we need that more than ever because we're like at this critical point of transforming. We're at this critical point of a shift in consciousness. And ultimately, it's our consciousness that will reflect the way that the world looks. And if we've already gotten this far, if enough of us do that inner work, we'll be able to radiate and reflect that outside of ourselves. So that's why I'm doing this event. It's a 3-day event, March 8, 9, and 10 of 2024. People from all around the world are coming. They're flying in. It's at this hotel. We got a discounted rate for hotel rooms for everybody to be able to join, make it more affordable and more accessible. And if everybody is interested, or if anybody is interested in a ticket, I can send you the link. You can go to jasonshurka.com/transformation, read about it. There are tons of benefits that come with it. It's an investment in yourself to really do something a whole lot bigger than what you thought was possible with yourself. And I look forward to it. So I'll share that link with you. And I do want to say that up until November 19th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time, we have a promo code available. So if anybody wants to get that ticket, make sure you use promo code FREE100. So FREE100 at checkout, and you'll be able to get $100 off your ticket so long as you get it before November 19th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
After watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you up for that? And if so, should they reach you on your website, on your YouTube channel, or Instagram?
To be realistic, the easiest way to be able to reach me and have questions answered is whenever I go live on YouTube, because that way I can do it in an interactive way. I'll tell you the honest and complete truth. I don't check all my emails. And if anybody is checking my emails, it'll be a team member of mine that's going to go through them. So if you're looking for something that's a little more personal, there's two ways. Way number one, definitely join me live on YouTube, and maybe I'll get to one of the questions in the live chats. Way number two, that's the best way, is come to one of my events. It's the best way to do it. We get to meet each other in person, and I take a few days to really hone in and zone in and go one-on-one with people as well.
What's the name of your YouTube channel?
Jason Shurka.
And when do you have these live chats?
Every so often. I don't have a set schedule. It's, you know, whenever I'm feeling up for it, let's do it. But I always announce them. And I always send a newsletter out to my newsletter from jasonshurka.com. So if anybody goes to jasonshurka.com and signs up for my newsletter, you will get an email giving you a notification 24 hours before I'm planning to go live.
Oh, great. All right. Yeah. Before we finish up, can you give us one last positive message?
Number one, I think we're in a really great time in the world right now, as crazy as that may sound, because the darker it gets, the lighter the light can shine. The work that we're looking for, the destination that we're looking to reach, although we'll never reach a destination, but we could be in line with our destiny, will only happen when we choose to do that inner work within ourselves. All of this starts with inner work. Everything else is a reflection of that. When you see a problem in your outside world, it's because that is found within yourself. Therefore, the key to your liberation, the key to your freedom, is doing that inner work, releasing yourself from any mental or spiritual imprisonment you've put yourself in, whether conscious or unconscious, most of the times unconscious, making the unconscious conscious and liberating yourself from within so we can experience a liberated world outside of ourselves.
Jason, thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Until next time, I look forward to continuing to do shows like this.
Likewise.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.